Welcome to Clawcast. Evening return briefing for Saturday, February 28th. 10 stories today. Story 1 of 10. From Hugging Face blog. Mixture of experts, Moe's, in Transformers. Hugging Face published an updated technical explainer on mixture of experts architectures in Transformers. Moe is the approach behind models like Mixtral and reportedly GPT-4. Instead of running every parameter on every token, you route each token through a sparse subset of specialized expert networks. The result is a model that's large in total parameter count but relatively cheap per inference because only a fraction of the weights activate per token. The February 2026 update likely covers the current state of routing algorithms, load balancing strategies, training tricks, and efficiency trade-offs. For anyone building on or reasoning about large model deployment, understanding Moe is increasingly important because the architecture is becoming dominant at the frontier. It also has interesting implications for edge deployment. Sparse activation patterns could, in principle, map better to heterogeneous compute architectures like neural accelerators in mobile or AR hardware. Next story. Story 2 of 10. From Hugging Face blog. IBM and UC Berkeley diagnose why enterprise agents fail using IT Bench and MAST. IBM Research and UC Berkeley asked not just whether agents fail, but why, and built a structured taxonomy called MAST to answer it. They annotated 310 IT automation execution traces across three models. The findings are concrete. Frontier models like Gemini Flash fail cleanly with around 2.6 failure modes per trace. Larger open models cascade, 5.3 failure modes per trace, where one early reasoning error poisons the entire context. The most universal failure mode across all models is agents declaring success without actually verifying it. Kimi K2 in particular struggles with termination. It either quits early or loops indefinitely. The engineering takeaways are actionable. Externalize verification so the model never grades its own homework. Add explicit stop conditions outside the model and treat ambiguous inputs as a first-class decision branch in your agent graph. This is the kind of systematic analysis that should be standard practice for anyone shipping agent-based systems. Next story. Story 3 of 10. From Hugging Face blog. GGML and Llama.cpp join Hugging Face to ensure the long-term progress of local AI. The team behind GGML and Llama.cpp is joining Hugging Face. These are the foundational libraries that made running large language models on consumer hardware possible. Llama.cpp is what lets you run a capable model on a MacBook or a Raspberry Pi. By joining HF, the team gets institutional support and resources, while Hugging Face gains deep ownership of a critical piece of the open source inference stack. For anyone interested in edge AI and near-sensor ML, this is directly relevant. GGML's quantization and efficient kernel work is exactly the kind of technology that needs to get to embedded hardware and eventually to devices like AR glasses. Having Hugging Face's backing and distribution should accelerate both the engineering work and the ecosystem of tools built on top of it. This is a consolidation move that strengthens the open source inference ecosystem meaningfully. Next story. Story 4 of 10. From Engineering Management. Pyramid Communication. An actionable guide. Practical piece on how engineers communicate and how to do it better. The pyramid principle is a classic consulting framework. Lead with the conclusion, then support it with reasoning, rather than narrating your way to the punchline. Most engineers do the reverse by habit. They build the case chronologically and bury the key insight at the end. This creates friction everywhere, in meetings, design docs, status updates, and presentations. The post covers how to apply the pyramid structure to different contexts. Pitching an idea, writing up finished work, making a request for resources or decisions. At the senior IC and research level, communication style increasingly determines influence. You can do great technical work and have it go nowhere if leadership can't quickly extract the key insight. Quick read worth the 10 minutes. Next story. Story 5 of 10. From Engineering Management. Defensible Decisions. A pragmatic framework for engineering choices. Engineering teams constantly face decisions between multiple viable options with no obvious right answer. Algorithm choices, architecture trade-offs, sensor design decisions. This piece introduces a framework centered on defensibility. Not just picking the best option, but being able to explain why the chosen path was the right call given the constraints at the time. The practical value of this is real. defensible decisions hold up under retrospective review. When something breaks, when a new team member asks why things are built the way they are, or when a design review drills into past choices. The framework forces you to be explicit about what you're actually optimizing for, which is valuable during the decision itself, not just for documentation afterward. It also makes it easier to revisit decisions when context changes, because you have a record of what assumptions were being made. Next story. Story 6 of 10. From Engineering Management. Robot Economics. From Cool Demo to Real Business. Guest piece on the economics of robotics, specifically the gap between impressive demos and actual deployable businesses. The author digs into cost structures that determine viability, unit economics, reliability at scale, maintenance costs, and the labor cost curves the product is competing against. This is directly relevant beyond traditional robotics. AR hardware, egocentric devices, and the kind of spatial computing gear that Reality Labs is building all face the same fundamental challenge. Sensor and compute costs acceptable in a research prototype need to drop by orders of magnitude to support a consumer product at scale. Understanding how other hardware-heavy industries have navigated that transition, where the real bottlenecks are, when the unit economics finally click, where the business model inflection happens, gives useful context for thinking about the AR hardware roadmap and what it actually takes to get from the lab to the shelf. Next story. Story 7 of 10. From Stratacary. An interview with Bill Gurley about running down a dream. Ben Thompson interviews Bill Gurley, the longtime Benchmark VC who's now retired and has written a book about building a career you love. Gurley is one of the most intellectually honest people in tech about how businesses actually work, famously write about Uber's market potential early on, and also write about Uber's governance problems later when that was not a popular thing to say. The interview covers his career, the book's premise about pursuing work you're genuinely passionate about, and the current state of venture capital. What makes Gurley worth listening to is that he's outside the incentive structures now, which frees him to say things other VCs won't. His perspective on how the current AI investment cycle compares to past tech bubbles, dot-com, mobile, and what kinds of bets actually compound into durable businesses is worth hearing for anyone thinking about where the industry is going. Next story. Story 8 of 10. From Stratacary. Xbox replaces head of gaming, Xbox history, wither Xbox. Ben Thompson argues that Xbox replacing its head of gaming with someone who isn't a gamer is actually a signal of what should have happened a decade ago. Microsoft getting out of the console hardware business. Thompson's read is that Xbox was always a defensive strategic play to keep Microsoft relevant in living room computing, not a genuine hardware business with a real path to profitability. The new head's non-gamer background suggests Microsoft may finally be pivoting to treat Xbox as a gaming software and services platform, Game Pass, cloud gaming, rather than a console manufacturer. For the hardware-software integration question, this is a useful case study. The lesson may be that vertically integrated hardware is only defensible when the hardware is truly differentiated. Gaming consoles are essentially commodity hardware with software lock-in, and that model gets harder to defend as game streaming infrastructure matures and mobile games continue eating entertainment time. Next story. Story 9 of 10. From The Verge. The Rubin Observatory's alert system sent 800,000 pings on its first night. The Vera C. Rubin Observatory went live with its automated alert system on February 24th, and on the first night generated 800,000 alerts about astronomical events. Asteroids, supernovas, active black holes, and that number is expected to grow significantly. At full operation, Rubin will survey the entire visible sky every 3 nights, generating around 10 million alerts per night. This is as much a data engineering story as an astronomy story. The challenge isn't collecting the data, it's processing and triaging it fast enough to be useful, so astronomers can follow up on transient events before they fade. The real-time classification pipelines, alert routing architectures, and downstream filtering systems are genuinely interesting engineering. It also makes a clear point about the scale at which machine learning classification becomes not optional but the only viable approach. Human review is simply not in the design space at 10 million events per night. Next story. Story 10 of 10. From Hacker News. Obsidian Sync now has a headless client. Obsidian Sync, the paid sync service for the popular Markdown note-taking app, now has a headless client. This means you can sync your Obsidian Vault on a server or in automated scripts without launching the full graphical application. For power users, this opens up workflows like keeping a vault synced on a home server or Raspberry Pi, running automated scripts against your notes, or building pipelines that consume Obsidian data programmatically. The HN thread has 113 comments, suggesting the Obsidian community is genuinely excited. If you're using Obsidian for research notes, knowledge management, or project tracking, the headless client adds meaningful automation possibilities. And if you're not using Obsidian yet, this is a reasonable moment to look at it. The sync infrastructure is maturing, the local-first data model means your notes are always yours, and the plugin ecosystem is well-developed for technical users. That's your ClawCast briefing. Have a good commute.